know what a hokey pokey is, but it sounds fun.
I don't think it's made of, it's a real koala.
I was tired, I was hungry, and I was hot. All of those three things combined equals Hurricane John.
Here's the problem I've always had with Helen Keller.
I seem weird? Like a lefty?
Pickles. They know me hate those pickles on me cheeseburgers.
Welcome to Bless Their Hearts. Jamie here, and also John.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's okay. How are you?
I'm good. You say okay. Your face makes me wonder if things are okay?
Yeah, Question mark? I'm here.
Did you have your doctor's appointment yet?
I did. So
how'd that go?
Did we have this conversation on the air about my feet that you thought?
I think we might have alluded to it, but here's the bottom line, folks. I might as well have been a doctor because I think I was able to cure Jamie.
Yeah, having some foot issues. Don't believe it's gout related. John believes it's tied to my cholesterol medication.
So. I know that because I had a very similar issue and it was tied to my cholesterol medication.
So I did the awful thing and sent my doctor a message and was like, look, I have a friend who did not go to medical school like you did, but he has this thought. Can we explore it? She's all about exploring it. I actually went this morning, and we're going to do a little experiment. I'm going to stay off the medicine for 2 weeks, see if the problem gets better. She also thinks I may have heel spurs, which
sounds like... That's exactly what my doctor told me when I went in for the same issue. Did she recommend putting wedges in your shoe?
No, but she said if this doesn't work, we'll reconvene and go from there. And she talked about getting new shoes, which I just did.
Your shoes are great. It's not your shoes. It's the medicine.
Can I tell you a story about my shoes? So,
well, let me ask you another question real quick. So did you take your medicine today?
I take it at night, so I haven't taken it yet.
Okay.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
So today is day zero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a prediction that within 5 days from now, you're going to be a new man and you're going to want to buy me a steak dinner for recommending this change.
We're going to.
And I will gladly accept.
On Friday, going to be at the bowling alley all day. So I'll get a big test.
Okay.
The feet.
And I'll drive there and you can buy me a burger instead of a steak.
Dude, those burgers are so good. Yeah. It's perfect timing to do this little experiment, I think.
All right. So shoes.
Yeah, so I have a pair of slip-on Skechers that I've been wearing for about a year, and they look like
tennis shoes. I thought you were talking about the
Hey Dude. I can just show you. I don't think those look like Hey Dudes.
Oh no,
okay. These are like regular tennis shoes.
My bad.
But you slip them on, whatever. So I've really enjoyed them. So I went shopping again. Of course, I'm an adult, so my mom gave me money for Christmas. I went to get a new pair, and John, you've seen these. Hold on.
I think it's really funny. Like, that's about the only time I buy new shoes is when my mom gives me Christmas money.
they're so expensive, man. It's like... Yeah,
that's funny. All right.
I can walk without dying. So I tried on about 10 pairs of Skechers because I'm theirs. They're mine. We're one. I found this pair, and it was like super cushion something.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had it in extra wide. And let me tell you, it's like I'm walking on a pillow that rubs my feet as I walk and then gets me a drink when I sit down. It's like walking is joyful.
Yeah.
Except for all the foot pain. But yeah. It's not the shoe's fault. So I'm at a basketball game and I'm wearing my new shoes. And this old guy... He looks over at me. He's like, hey, buddy, them extra wide or what? And I was like, that's a little personal. And I was like, no, they are. This particular model only comes that way. He was like, how they feel? It was like, I don't know. It was like he had secretly invented this shoe. And he was trying to goat me into bragging about it in front of him. And he just kept going on and on. So there's that. But also, I officially have a shoe that a super old man wants to try. So I think that says a lot about who I am right now.
But at the same time, two things. Number one, I have a pair of shoes that look almost identical to yours, just a different brand.
Yeah,
that are like also
almost the same color.
Yeah,
it's like, weird.
It's and we did not plan this. It's just super weird. But I didn't know, or I had never bought a wide version of a shoe, so I didn't know that if I found a pair of Brooks that I like, I could ask for those shoes, but in a wide model. I always just thought, okay, I need a size 11. I'm good. But then I went shopping with my Christmas money from my mom, and I found a pair of Brooks, and they didn't have the size I needed in it, but he did come back and say, I've got that size in a wide. I was like, what? You have had this option this whole time and you're just now telling me about it? Dude, I've had to go to the podiatrist last year because my son's alarm's going off again.
Again.
He's not at home either, so it's going to get really loud. So, yeah, I guess I'll go take care of that and then follow up on my shoe conversation.
Okay. So, serious question. Does that only happen while we're recording for a reason?
No. This is not a typical time of day where he would be considered low, but he's low.
So. Yellow.
I wish it was that fun. But anyway, yeah, I've been wearing regular shoes, not wide versions, and I've hurt like permanently my pinky toes on both feet.
So, yeah, can we talk about your pinky toes for a second?
Yeah, I feel like I had another, like there was a part B to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
I keep cutting you off. I keep trying to move on when you're not ready. You just let me know. Are you ready?
Yeah, because I don't remember what part B was. I'll remember.
We were tomorrow. At church recently, and your daughter started talking about your pinky toe. And
in front of a lot of people.
She did. It was in front of a lot of people. And you came over and kind of chastised her. Like, that's not public information.
But now I'm talking about it on.
You had already done it. Like, we talked about it like a month ago. I felt like
she was giving, like, very detailed information. So I was joking with her, too, a little bit.
Yeah, oh, I know. But it was our friend Alex was there. And she was actually like, John, you said this on the podcast, like, last week. So.
So if I mentioned that I had to go to the podiatrist and they took basically a Dremel tool and filed down part of my nail, it is time again for that to happen. And I don't want to spend $200 for him to do it. Is it insane to go to Harbor? Come on, really? I want to go to Harbor Freight. They have a $17 Dremel right now. And I could just do it myself. It's the same tool.
Yeah, but he's trained to use it in that context.
I'm a redneck.
Which is great for holding together cabinets.
I could shoe a horse.
And replacing screws.
I could file a horse's hoof right now. I can John, file my own toenail.
You couldn't.
I could let my wife do it.
John, no.
I could let my
daughter do it. You're not qualified.
I could let my daughter do it.
I don't remember
much therapy would a child need if one of her daily responsibilities were filing dad's toe with a Dremel?
I mean, that's future husband, like couples therapy for the rest of eternity type situation.
She can't see a bare foot without twitching a little bit.
That's not good. I should know where this quote comes from, but sometimes we ask ourselves if we can do something without asking ourselves if we should.
That's a quote for pansies. If you can, you should. Right?
No, not even.
That could be a very, whole episode. What things can you do that you shouldn't do?
Very strongly disagree. That could be an episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of things. Like, I don't know. I could run outside naked. I can shoot people with weapons.
Well, I mean, I can tell me one reason why being outside naked.
Well,
isn't something you should do?
Because it didn't go well last time, John. I'll tell you that. Didn't turn out like I thought.
Was there legitimately a last time?
No. No. I mean,
gosh, man.
Not naked.
Different subject, but just a side note for our friendship. Listen to this week's most recent Sean Ryan episode. Yeah, almighty. Talking about running around outside naked. That's what made me think of it. So listen to that.
I mean, you can't just leave it like that. Like, what it's, was it?
Tim Tebow got with this lady, and I'm sorry, I do not remember her name, but she had a little brother who went to a Christian camp, and it was like a Christian camp franchise, basically. Like, it's this one brand of camp that's held. They have like 50 locations across the U.S. And there was like, there was just horrible abuses going on, and I'll leave it at that. So yeah, it will be coming up on True Crime Cast though.
Okay.
Yeah, it was bad. So anyway.
So not fun naked outside.
No. Well, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, it was not fun for everybody.
This is, yeah, I don't know. I don't like this.
I will say, no, I will not say that. Yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
You say a lot of things.
I do. And I shouldn't.
There was something else.
But I should.
There was something else recently where you talked about, you were like, you can't talk about that. I'm like, John, you... Oh, it was, you were talking about the dream you had about your friend getting in a car wreck, and you're like, I don't know if I want to tell that story on the air. Like, I think if you've literally told it in five different contexts, and you're like, I don't know if I want to say it on the air. I'm like, again?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you feel impulsive when you're here and start talking, and then later, do you ever regret it and want to go back? I mean, we can edit stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe sometimes. Sometimes I'm afraid of what I don't know that I said. You know what I mean? Like, did I talk bad about somebody and you didn't stop me and now it's out there publicly? Not that I ever would, but you know, you never know.
Oh, I know. No, I feel like we're pretty good about stopping each other about that.
I do want to talk about something foolish I said on the radio.
Okay.
And I want you to tell that story from your perspective. When I was doing the gas sponsor, you know what I'm talking about, for the most recent.
Oh, I'm very familiar with the story.
All right, well, go ahead.
So we want to
eat my chicken.
There's a sponsor that does the basketball games. We're very grateful that we get to do those ball games. So super thankful for the sponsors. Try to give them all kinds of love during the actual broadcast. And we've got a new one, and it's the hot player of the game. And it's a Precision Gas Company. First of all, John is very uncomfortable when we commentate on a girl's game to call a girl a hot player of the game. I'm going to be honest. I get it. I get that. So
I'm uncomfortable no matter what the gender, but especially for the women's basketball. Because they're high school girls.
Yeah, I think you call, but I mean, hot, supposed to be like hot shooting. I get it. I get your concern. So at one time you changed it to like fireball player of the game or something like that.
That's an alcoholic drink. I said something like that.
Wow, I don't even know about that. You want to talk about it? No. So this time we're preparing for the post game, and John says, and I quote, "I'm doing the precision read. And I am going to kill it this time. I'm going to do so well."
Because as of right now, I'm 0-2.
Yeah.
Well.
Fumbled through it. Yeah. Fumbled through it the first two times. So we go to commercial. We come back. We're all set to wrap up. That's going to be like the last thing we do. And then we'll sign off. And John literally starts out with, "And now for the precision player of the game."
It literally sounded like I took that break to get crap faced drunk.
Yeah, or have a major
a stroke
event. Yeah. So like the first word, the precision, and I laughed quietly while you did hang in and finish the read.
It was rough.
But after
it never got better.
After that you lost, like I lost you. I had to close out myself because you could not stop laughing.
The producer Gage and I were just like feeding off each other. So when I would almost stop laughing, I would look at him and he's dying. So it was like two solid minutes of not able to breathe.
And usually I would fall victim and fall into it. I was able to stay strong and finish the broadcast, and it was good. But it wasn't that you messed up a word. We mess up words like all the time. As much as we talk into a microphone, I'd say together we bat about 70%.
Yeah.
But
I bring that average down.
It was the confidence in which you went into this read.
I wanted to nail it, man. Like you asked, like, "Hey, we've got three different things here. Which one of these would you like to do?" And I'm like, "I've got to redeem myself. I've got to do this, and I've got to do it right." It was by far the worst attempt I ever had.
It was real bad. Like we might lose a
sponsor.
That
sponsor has probably already contacted Michael to say, either we're done forever, or you can just never let that man do the read again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people probably had to go Google it after if they were interested because they didn't know what you said. I'm like, what was the procedure?
I even tried to give them the website, and I screwed it up.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. Golly, I mean, and to be fair, again, we mess up quite a bit. Kasasa cashback checking, it took me a whole football season to figure that one out. So still don't really know what it is. Sounds like witchcraft, but
it was a lot of fun.
It was good.
I had a good time.
It was a good game, and you laughed a lot, and I wrapped up the broadcast, and then we cleaned up and walked out in the snow. It was a good time. Speaking of good times, I'm going to go back to the doctor from this morning.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going in there. I bring up cholesterol medication, and she's like, well, let's check your blood and see what's up. And I've been going to this doctor for at least 15 years.
Okay.
But I swear this, and they have like a lab in their office. There's never been the same person in the lab twice, ever. This is a new lady.
Is this kind of off the beaten path, doctor?
No, it's right across from Kingston Shell.
Oh, okay. Is that literally off the beaten path?
It's literally right on the path. It's on 421.
It's a path we trod, but it's not
a path. It's a major United States highway. State highway.
You're technically right, but also I am absolutely right. Okay, so that's
over there.
And
it's less than a mile from my house.
I know that.
We have different definitions.
90% of this county does not traverse on that road.
Hmm.
All right, go ahead.
I don't even know. I don't even want to talk down. Like I feel attacked for.
Okay, 70%.
Okay, I'll take it. Don't know this lady, and we did not get off to a good start. She asks my name and my date of birth. So I say Jamie Boggs, and then I give her my date of birth, which ends in 82.
Okay. I thought this was going to be more name related. Like, no, sorry, I need your actual name, not your
no,
not your AKA.
No, I said that. And then she said a good 12 seconds later, like silent. She's like, did you say Vaughn? I was like, no, I didn't say Vaughn at all. It was Boggs. Spell it for you, B-O-G-G-S. So I spelled that. She was like, you were born in 72. And I was like, no. Like, if you're going to guess the other way.
Is she writing this down by hand?
She was typing it like single finger, like hunt and poke. Is that what it is? Hunt and peck? I don't know. One finger on each
80%.
Hand. 80%. Typing it into a computer. And I was pretty mad about it. So think about this. This human is about to stick a needle inside your body, and they're 0-for-3 at hearing the words you said.
Best case scenario, somebody's getting their lab results, but it ain't going to be you.
Well, I was just worried about the poke, and she came over, and I was already on my heels. I was like, I can't trust you at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I can't trust you, can't hear you, can't poke me, right? That's my rule, essentially. That's why Helen Keller can't take my blood.
Over, under on age.
Upper 50s, I would say.
All right. 50s.
So she comes over and I've never had anybody in my life ever, ever, ever have trouble getting a vein. And she puts the thing around my right arm and she starts poking. And like, I can tell she's getting nothing. And I was like, look, switch off, do whatever you need to do.
Needles in your arm.
No, not yet.
Okay.
No. This is just her feeling around.
Because
you get those old, what are people called? Phlebotomists. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I know I can see your vein, but I got to be able to feel it. I got to feel it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And she was that kind of person. So she's like, she just went kind of back and forth over my arm. I was like, switch arms. Stop what you're doing. Obviously, you don't feel comfortable with this arm. So she goes to the other arm. And then she finds the vein and she gets the needle in. And then it was a thing where the tube of blood, it hurt when she poked me more than it should. The tube of blood is filling up so slowly.
Oh my gosh.
So like dripping, and she's just chilling, not doing anything to make it go faster. And it's not just one of those like the poke hurt, but now I'm fine. Like it still hurt in my arm.
I wonder what made it slow.
I don't know. After a few seconds and me showing discomfort and kind of looking at her, why is this taking so long? She decided it was a great idea to just start wiggling the syringe around. And
that almost made me pass out.
Like went from... because it goes in kind of horizontal, like almost parallel to your skin till it gets to it. She pretty much just lifted it up. So the needle is pressing down into my arm. She almost went through my vein, but it was absolutely terrible. And
that did something. Like, I almost passed
out. I don't use this word. I hate her. I cannot ever talk to that woman again.
Well, it sounds like you don't have to worry about it. Because they have a track record of not having the same one.
She's like, can you give me a urine sample? I was like, I mean, it's in this seat
now. My God, man, what kind of test are you doing?
I just peed everywhere when you did that. So just get it out of this chair when I'm done.
Did you literally have to do a urine sample?
Yeah.
What? Like what?
I mean, it's a full workup, dude. My doctor cares about me. I can't just email my doctor and say,
I think
I have whatever.
Hey, easy.
That's easy. That's how it is for you to get drugs.
I have to do a drug test because of the medicine I'm on every now and then. So that's a urine sample. But before that, I've never gave a urine sample for
every time anything. They take my blood, they take urine.
I wonder what they're checking that urine for.
I don't know. I think there are some medications that I'm on that could impact my kidneys. Mm. So maybe just checking that. I don't know. But I knew that I was going to have to pee. So I held it like all morning till I got there. They're like, you got a urine sample? I'm like, I got all the urine you
I've
need,
got more
bro.
Than a sample.
Yeah. That cup ain't going to be enough.
Wow.
Pass me a 2-liter. So anyway, that was terrible. It was a terrible blood-taking experience. I'm scarred for the rest of the day.
It
still hurts.
Sorry, man. I had a very different type of medical experience yesterday.
Okay.
I had to go for my annual visual screening.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, without fail, my vision gets worse, and I get
a new pair of glasses. Fail is the operative word here.
So me and my boy went.
like your son or like one homie? Of your friends?
No, me and my
boy went to get some new glasses.
My son, he had his visual screening as well.
Got our focals lined up.
I love my optometrist. He's this old redneck guy. I saw an LEX 18 article about optometrists that were practicing without a license in Kentucky. And I committed to myself that if I open this up and I see my optometrist, I'm still going back to him.
All right.
He wasn't on there, but he's at the point where he's like semi-retired, works like 1 or 2 days a week.
Is this place off the beaten path?
I would say so.
I think you have to say so because it's much further off the beaten path than my doctor.
It's further away, but technically it's right off the interstate. So it's not necessarily.
This is right off it's so much further away from another big road, though. The
like
road it's
where
actually
your doctor's
on.
At?
No, where yours is at.
I can see the interstate. And if I were.
Mine's on a state highway.
If I were Joe Milton, I'd be able to throw a football
One
at
One of the longest
interstate.
Highways.
So I go in there and I do my test. And
if you threw it, you'd miss.
Probably would.
If you're Joe Milton. Oh, sorry.
He would overthrow it somehow, even though
he'd
he's 2 miles
doctor.
Away. Yeah. So he's doing the test, and I hate going to the eye doctor because I don't like to fail things, and I've never passed any of those tests.
I don't want to take the time to do it, but less than 2 minutes ago, you said, I love going to the optometrist.
I love my optometrist. I don't like failing every test he gives me, but he's a great guy.
Okay.
So I do this test, and every time I do it, when I'm reading the lines or whatever, I'm guessing. I can never see what they actually say. So he is like, well, you got 3 out of 5 on that one. All right. That's pretty good. And I was like, doc, maybe I got all 5, but I'm from Tennessee, and I just don't know what letters you know. And he thought that
was pretty
funny.
Good. That's pretty good.
So he did another one, and I got 3 out of 5 on it. And he's like, well, I can't believe it. You've actually got better. So my vision improved from last year.
Or
I just know more letters because I've been reading books lately.
You have been reading some books. That's an excellent point.
So, yeah.
Were you actually guessing, though, or were you trying your best?
I was trying my best.
Okay. Because I was
going to
say.
Which is probably, guessing would probably have better odds.
Well, if you're, pun unintended, blindly guessing and get them right, then you're going to, it's not an honest assessment.
You ever just sat down and look at all the letters in our alphabet and realize just how many are so similar, you know?
Yeah.
D, that's so stupid. G, V, Y, W. Those are tricky. And those are only the ones they use for this test.
That's a lot of them.
I've told you about my vision test for my driver's license on this podcast before, right?
I don't know.
When I
have you?
So went back in the day when I went, you had to do your vision test, but they had this little box that sat on the countertop. So you had to squat down and put your face in there. And she was like, all right, read off what you see. And I was like, 7, 2, 4. She's like, stop. Honey, they ain't no numbers on this test.
Yes.
So then I had to go next door and pay an optometrist to write me a letter saying I could drive. That's not a conflict of interest, right? If I pay them for their service.
And it's, I mean, what a convenient place to be, right next to the DMV.
It really was like right next door.
That's fantastic.
But I was able to drive. I was like, ma'am, I can see a semi truck. I just can't see what letters are on the semi truck.
And if I'm trying to read the letters, that's when I'm going to crash.
Yeah.
Legit.
Are we allowed to reverently discuss events of this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. One of my kids was in a pretty bad car accident, so it was a pretty eventful weekend. Very traumatic and scary for all involved. So it's pretty terrible. But
is he? I think back to some times where one in particular was what I would consider a bad wreck that I was in. And even as a grown man, that was, I want to say 3 years ago. And without fail, every single time I go past that spot, it's a spot where traffic could turn in front of me. And that's exactly what happened. I was going through my green light and someone had they had a green light, but they were supposed to yield to oncoming traffic. Mm-hmm. And they turned right in front of me. And I didn't even have time to barely hit the brakes and I T-boned them. But driving through that spot on my way to work every single day, it was such a traumatic event that I feel it in my body every time I go through that spot.
Yeah.
So and unfortunately the spot where your son wrecked, he'll have to drive past that spot every single time he leaves the house almost he's going into our main town.
He requested an alternate route to church from my wife. And
Angie's not a great one.
Extremely accommodating, but she didn't do it. And I was like, that's mean. Why would you not do that?
I guess also it's like 10 minutes out of the way.
Yeah, there are several ways, but this is a very convenient path for us. Yeah. So it was pretty awful. Seems to be okay. Still dealing with a couple things, but all walked away from it. And yeah, it was every bit as scary as you would expect it to be getting that phone call.
I love that kid, and I feel like if he's anything like me, like every time he drives by that spot, or even is in a situation where, you know, similar events are happening no right. matter where he's at. It's scary. So
somebody,
is it inappropriate to talk about something that happened during the wreck, but doesn't really relate to your son? Because I just kind of wanted to talk about this. And if it's not, it's canine related.
I mean, yeah, a dog died in this situation.
But can we talk about the specifics of...
I don't know what you're wanting to say. Somebody locked up to not hit a dog.
No, the part that I wanted to talk about is there was someone at the house in front of where this happened they were there dog sitting.
Oh, John, I may have misconveyed this. They were dog sitting. It was their house, not the dog's house. The dog was visiting them,
it's so much worse.
Yes, it's worse than just dog sitting at somebody's house.
Oh, my gosh.
Because if it's at his house, like, wow, you all should have ways to keep your dog close. But no, this was the dog was visiting.
Someone brought a dog to them, and they let that dog get out. Oh, my gosh. Like, I talked to my daughter about that because she wants to do, like, sitting. For mm-hmm. like for children,
I sit all
and
the
I
time.
Was like, I was like, I feel so bad for everybody involved in that situation. But like, I mean, it's a dog versus a kid. So ultimately, I could care less about the dog. I'm glad your son's okay. But now that I know your son is okay, I just feel so bad for this poor person who was there dog sitting, and the one job they had.
Seriously,
they let that job. Die.
Keep the dog alive.
So
spoiler alert, the dog didn't make it through the trying to save it, causing an accident.
I mean, God, so I was talking to my daughter and I was like, that would be like you watching a child and that child dies on your watch.
Maybe legally a little different.
I mean, I'm of the population that loves children, but I know there are some in this country who would rather save a dog.
Yeah.
But my God, man, it sucked. That was awful.
In the moment, that woman screamed in horror when she found out the dog was hit. And had my son not been standing upright when she did that, I would have lost my mind.
I would have lost it while my son was standing beside me.
She was also pretty far away. So, and I was tired. Can I tell you why I was tired? I think I've told you. So we get the phone call and jump in the car and we're approaching the accident. We get there before any medical professionals do, but we don't know exactly where it is, but there's already a line of traffic because it stopped. And she pulls up, Angie is driving, and she says, get out, run to him, because we have no idea what to expect. Like, it's terrible. So I'm like, it's just right. She was like, run to him. So she slows down, doesn't stop, never stops.
You bail out of a moving car.
I jumped out of a moving car, and I sprinted probably a quarter of a mile. And when I get here, her car is right beside Gavin, and she's standing there hugging him. So I run and join the hug, and then Gavin's like, did y'all come separately? I was like, no, she made me run.
She kicked me, literally kicked me out of a
moving car.
I mean, it's cool, though, because I'm sure your feet felt better after that.
So I almost went into this with my doctor. Like, a couple weeks ago, I was up on my feet a lot. My feet hurt. My feet hurt this weekend because I had to sprint a quarter mile.
Were you wearing your new fancy shoes?
No, I was not.
So, I mean, the fact that you even had time, you probably already had shoes on or you would have been doing that trek barefoot.
No, these are slip-ons. I slipped them on. Man, that would have been. I can't go barefoot.
I pray that I never have to have that phone call. That is terrible.
I did grab a hoodie on the way out the door. Turned out to be Gavin's, so
couldn't wear it.
I was showing a little midriff at the scene.
I couldn't stand, like, I knew you were there waiting on a tow truck for a long time, and I couldn't stand just like constantly thinking about it but doing nothing. So I just got in my car and drove to you. And by the time I got there, you were already gone. So I don't know.
I was there for a while. Yeah, it was every bit as terrible as you would think. Very, very grateful. If you're friends with us, there are pictures on Facebook of the vehicle, and it's very clear. It landed, flipped, landed on the top, and right around the driver. It's like it was protected by a bubble. So I don't throw the word miracle around much, but it's hard to argue against it here.
When you see the pictures of that car once it was turned upside down or right side up, I mean, yeah, the driver's side protected, everything else smashed.
Which
is insane.
The driver's side's what should have hit the ground. So I don't even, just based on the physics of what happened.
I saw your daughter last night and asked her, like, hey, how's your brother doing? And she's like, he's fine. Did you know I lost the CD in this whole thing? And I was like, do what now? And she said, yeah, we went to see the car today and my CD would not come out. I was like, which Taylor Swift album was it, Avery? And she's like,
a new one.
She's like, how did you know? I was like, I've known you your whole life. Yeah. It had to be a Taylor Swift. So I'm sure there's plans to get that kid a new album.
I mean, again, with the album thing, I don't know where you get the second L, but
album. Okay. CD.
Why does she even have that? Everything's streaming. Why does she even have a CD?
Kids, man. I mean, it's like a collection.
She collects records. I get that. But I don't even know, besides Gavin's car, where we would have played a CD.
Yeah. My son recently got a CD player because they're nostalgic. That's like me having a record player. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have records. Well, I mean, I had them, but they weren't coming out with new ones.
Right. It wasn't the thing.
So
it's not like I'm lining up some 8-tracks here.
I started my day off that same day with a wreck.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
So a family friend had a daughter who was going to a track meet, and it was kind of icy that morning. It cleared up throughout the day, but she hit like a black or a spot of black ice. Dadgum. The alarm's going off. Anyway, I went there. I couldn't. She called me because she thought I was a redneck and would be able to get the car out of the ditch. But when I rolled up to it, I was like, no, I don't even know that a good wrecker could get this thing out of the ditch.
I was wondering how you got it. Like, I knew what happened. You showed me pictures of the scene, but this morning I was like, how did he get that out of there?
Yeah, no, I didn't even try. And you know how much I like to try things when I shouldn't?
Yeah.
I didn't even try. I pulled up. I was like, nope, no way.
So you stopped and you said, I could try, but should I?
Yeah, and I didn't.
So they called a tow truck?
Yeah, so I sat there and waited on the tow truck.
Yeah, so waiting on tow trucks is no fun.
Let's go to a break, and I'll go turn this alarm off again.
I have some fun planned for after. I think we probably just had a full-blown conversation, not knowing the mic was on. So if you heard that, it's whatever. We didn't say any, we didn't say anything. It was bad. But we're here, John got the alarm off, and I have prepared a game of Would You Rather with a theme of cold things.
A theme of cold things?
Yeah, so Would You Rather, and at least one of these things, I think for most of them, like, given your temperature sensitivity, let's just start with the first one. Would you rather go sledding in pajamas or build a snowman with no gloves?
Either one of those doesn't sound that bad. but yeah, sledding in pajamas, I guess. In my pajamas or in pajamas in general?
I'm because you don't wear pajamas, I assume. But yeah, I mean, let's just say what you sleep in.
Okay, well, snowman with no gloves rather than riding a sled in underwear.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I know you're very temperature sensitive, as we talk about often.
It's a medical issue.
And you say you like cold, but I've also come in here and seen you like trying to inhale a heater. So
it's very rare. But yeah.
Does cold bother you generally?
Generally, no, but there is a certain threshold, and right now outside is below that threshold. So I've been wearing jackets lately.
I got to the doctor today and it was 9 degrees and they were like, you're wearing shorts and it's 9 degrees. I was like, I know, 10's usually my cutoff. I don't have pants, but I mean, I was in a hurry, you know, it was off the beaten path. So I had to get there.
I would love to figure out our county's like algorithm for canceling school. Because a week ago, it was the low of 20, and they canceled for cold temperatures. And this morning, it felt like 3, and they were, like, ready to go. So it's just, like, set a rule, you know? Set a rule and follow it.
I think at this point, they realized that they were a little too,
loosey-goosey.
A little too quick to make the decision last time and set this one out. Because, yeah, they've missed school for it being not this cold before.
Yep.
All right. So I've mixed it up a little here. Only one of them has to do with cold. So for this one, let's say you're waiting to get into a restaurant.
Okay.
Would you rather stand up in a line or sit down and wait, but you do so and it's a cold metal bench?
Okay. Stand up and wait outside or inside?
Let's say outside, perfect weather, but for some reason the bench is frozen. But you can sit there and won't lose your spot.
Okay. So outside it's a normal, comfortable temperature, but the bench is frozen?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds perfect.
To stand in a really long line? Let's say you have to stand for 45 minutes in that line.
I guess I don't understand the question then. So is the line shorter if I'm cold? I thought the options were sit on a cold bench or stand up in the line.
Yeah, so it's the same amount of time.
Okay.
So wait 45 minutes standing in good weather or wait 45 minutes sitting on a cold bench.
But it's good weather. So it's like 70 degrees, but the bench is frozen.
Yes.
That's absolute heaven. Yes. Sign me up for that.
The bench?
Yes.
Okay, the frozen bench. Okay.
So it's sunny. I've got the warm face, but I've got a cold back. So it like balances itself out.
Why don't you tell me a song that you don't like that really gets on your nerves? And it can be anything from like bro country to Baby Shark.
Okay.
Do you have any songs that you hate?
Old Town Road?
Yep. Perfect example. Would you rather listen to Old Town Road on repeat?
Whatever the next one is.
Or have people following you around all day trying to dump snow down the back of your shirt and you never know when they're coming. So constant snow down your shirt all day or listen to Old Town Road all day?
For just one day?
Yeah.
You know, as much as I hate to say it, I would rather listen to Old Town Road all day.
Okay.
And it's not the snow that gets me, Jamie. It's people. It's the
you don't
the
have constant, to talk to them.
It's the constant interaction with people. There, you know, there are multiple times a week where by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm done. I just don't want any more interactions. Do you get like that?
I'm always like that.
But do you implement like, I'm going to my room and shutting the door?
No, not from my family, but I legitimately will not go places or take different doors to not talk to people. Like that happens every single day in my life that I leave the house.
Mm. Okay, well, cool. I feel like a bad father.
I went so far around. I left the gym through a wrong door and went all the way around the school to a bathroom because I didn't want to walk past somebody through the main door. And it wasn't even an enemy. It was just somebody I want to talk to.
Dude, I forgot to tell you this at also, church it was on you. Sunday.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So on Sunday, you and I were teamed up to do like the cameras for the service.
Yeah.
And we both teach Sunday school, which is on one side of the church, and the camera booth is on the total opposite side of the church.
Yep. True story.
I almost walked around the building outside just so I didn't have to go through the hallway full of people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I love 98% of those people.
That's not true.
I love 70% okay. of those people.
I'll allow it.
But it was that I'm a talker, and a lot of people that I see are talkers, and I had somewhere to be. So I just wanted to take the bypass around the church so that I could just walk straight and not have to do, because I would have been there 5 minutes earlier, but I had a conversation in the hallway.
Probably people stopping you and telling you things that are broken. That's probably half your church experience. And the other half of the people are driving by my doctor's office. Would you rather have brain freeze or have to spend a whole day drinking unsweet tea?
Oh.
Warm.
I would rather have brain freeze and drink cold sweet tea.
Have you ever sweet tea or unsweet tea?
I would rather have, if I'm drinking sweet tea and that's what causes my brain to have brain freeze, I would rather do that than drink unsweet tea. Unsweet tea is the worst.
Have you ever had brain freeze so bad you thought you were going to die?
I've had brain freeze so bad that I wanted to die.
I don't understand the science of it, but there have been times I'm like, this is it. I feel my heart stopping because my entire body is frozen.
Have we ever,
because of ice cream?
Has the medical community really ever understood what causes brain freeze? And if not, what's your best guess?
Yeah, I don't. I guess it's just some kind of weird nervous system reaction to your body's temperature near your brain dropping dramatically.
Yeah. Water never touches your brain. So why does water in my esophagus, esophagus, my food pipe, whatever that's called.
I think it's esophagus.
Maybe it is esophagus.
I think it is.
But yeah, like food I wonder pipe. Why that does that.
I have no idea. Nerves are weird things, man. You know how like you can get a tattoo on your spine and your toes tingle. Like it's body's a weird thing.
Did you know one of the early signs of hypothermia is the need to feel like you need to completely undress?
Yes. Yeah, you feel like that will.
Why does our brain like our brain is trying to kill us?
It hates us. Why? Yeah. Why would it do you think our brain thinks it's funny? It's like I got him to get naked.
Maybe our brain's like, we got to make this stop. Let's end this for this poor guy.
Let's get out of our misery and go on to the house. All right.
Did you know that when you have rabies, you're afraid of water?
I didn't know that.
Like crazy to watch videos on people with rabies, and then they're so thirsty, but you put a cup of water in front of them and they are terrified by it. They slap it away.
What's the fear?
I don't know. getting healthy again. I mean, it's one of your brain's screwy things that it does.
I've always said that I would get tased just to experience it and see what it's like. Would you get rabies to experience it and see what it's like?
No, because when you get to that point, you're dead.
Oh, okay.
I've thought getting tased, but I would want to make sure that I've taken care of all my possibilities of bowel movements beforehand. Well,
I worry about my heart not starting or stopping or something. But yeah, bowel movements, super important when you're getting tased. All right. Would you rather have cold feet all day? Maybe your socks are cold. Or maybe, let's go wet socks. Have wet socks all day, or get to your house, forget something, and have to come home and get it. Because I'm sure if that happens to you, you just like, you're like, I'll do without it. Even if it's a computer, I'll do my whole job on my phone.
I've done the latter, and it's pretty aggravating, but I think it would be more aggravating to have to wear wet socks all day. So I would just swallow my pride and hopefully find a good podcast to listen to on my way back to retrieve whatever it was.
All right, let's go with this. Would you rather, we're going to stick with temperature, but would you rather sit on an airplane? I mean, this whole thing's on an airplane. Would you rather sit in a row by yourself where you're not, where it's warm, like uncomfortably warm, or have perfect temperature and sit between two people who talk to you the whole time? I feel like that's a good one. That might be the best question I've ever asked anybody in my life.
90% of the people would say, I'd rather sit by myself, but baby, sign me up for some conversation and cool temperatures.
Really?
Yes.
Because you've noted that you don't like talking to people.
I know. But I don't like being hot more than I don't like people.
There's also the element of having your own row versus sitting in the middle, which is the worst.
Yeah, the middle is bad. But I would much rather be cool and comfortable and conversing than sitting there by myself angry. Like, when I'm hot, Jamie, I'm angry.
It's in the intro. Yeah.
It's not even
Hurricane John.
I would rather be cool and chatty than just sitting there for hours angry. I would try to fix the air conditioner. They would kick me off the airplane.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, anybody up there got a screwdriver? And then you get tackled by everybody because they think you're trying to hijack.
I mean, I would have to completely learn a new system.
Does anybody have something sharp? I got to get this open. That would be bad. That'd be real bad. Would you rather, let's say you get home and your driveway's blocked with snow and you have no shoes. So you can walk up your driveway.
What was I doing?
Barefoot in the snow, or you can take a route that's a mile long and get to the house without getting in the snow.
But I'm driving that mile?
No, you're walking it.
Oh. So it's either...
This isn't dropping me off and making me sprint to a scene.
So I'm walking either way, but one of them is walk 300 feet through the snow.
Barefoot.
Or walk a mile on dry land.
And I'll even give you shoes for that.
I'm walking the 300 feet, baby.
Okay. All right.
10 years ago, I might have chose... 10 years ago? No, I'm still doing it. I don't care. It's going to snow 10 inches this weekend. I'll do it then for no good reason other than I just want to prove to you I can. That falls under the things I could do but shouldn't do.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which I think is the important lesson to take away from today.
Man, you might have just changed my whole life.
There you go. With one quote.
Yeah. The implications that has.
I really want to know what other people would say about the airplane thing.
What would you do?
I would rather have my own row. It's not worth it to talk to people. I would rather sweat for 3 hours.
So when you get hot and you're uncomfortable, it doesn't do anything internally that makes you want to like murder someone?
No, I know the feeling you're talking about. And there are things in my life that will, it's like you see red, like you're done.
It's like the most stress and there's no retrieve from it.
There are things in my life that do that, but heat is not one of them.
So you've never felt like that with heat?
No.
What's something that does make you feel like that?
This is going to sound bad.
Setting with me?
Let me tell you about podcasting with John.
If it is, please don't. I'm not mentally able to handle that.
Trying to find my doctor's office because it's like in the woods somewhere apparently.
Shut up.
No. So if I'm trying to, let's say, take off a shirt and like it gets caught on my elbow or something, and I have to spend like 2 or 3 seconds struggling to get my shirt free and it's stuck. Like that's the feeling I get. I just want to rip it and run through a wall.
I can't remember.
And knock myself out.
Oh, I was at the eye doctor. I was trying to take my jacket off and I felt like a special needs person.
Yeah. So that would make me feel that way.
Because I just couldn't. And I'm at the age where I don't really want to risk a shoulder surgery by reaching, you know, like I could when I was 15 years younger. I get that, man.
Yeah.
It's and for me, it's not as stressful. It is scary.
It's stressful for me. It makes me really angry. Maybe I'm just too fat and old to take my shirt off or whatever, but yeah. So that one time a week I change clothes, it's touch and go. You know what I mean?
That's funny. I do want to bring up one more thing, and okay. It was a scenario where I thought you might have been really stressed out. I'm going to try my best not to say names, okay? But we were...
My family gives me crap for us trying too hard to avoid names, which is funny.
We were at church, and we had the opportunity to take an elevator up, okay?
Yeah.
Anything off the top of your head that would have made you uncomfortable about me just saying that? No? Okay, let me go further. There was a young lady who got on the elevator, and the way that this person stood, I felt awkward because I knew you had to be livid.
Really? Oh, because of where they stood.
Where and how, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I recognized it, but it didn't make me mad. Because for people who don't know, I have written the full guide to elevator etiquette. You can find it on Amazon, and it's a real thing. And in that, I lay out the Boggs equation of how many people should be in an elevator versus waiting for later. And there's a system designed on where you should stand and which way you should face given the situation you're walking into. But yeah, it was not up to my standard for sure. Yeah. I forgot about it. Did you tell her after that?
No.
They violated the rules?
No, but I think I will. Like, is it still available to purchase on Amazon?
It is.
I think I might.
The Complete Guide to Elevator Etiquette by J.W. Boggs.
Yeah, I may buy
99 cents.
We need to buy just a box of them and give out as swag.
I just want to drop them in elevators all over the world and just be like, read it.
I could buy one of those.
Love it.
You know the little things that are outside of doors at our church that they put the attendance in?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could just buy one of those and put the book in the elevator.
Yeah. I mean, it's fairly lengthy. Not going to lie. I have a lot of problems with elevators.
What's a good way to tell the elders that I'd like to spend $5,000 on books for elevator etiquette? Just a letter, you think?
I think put them in the elevator with that young lady for a few days and they'll all be in.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question.
You need Jesus and to learn how to ride elevators.
Amen. Guys, we really appreciate you. Would love a 5-star review. And I really want to know where you would sit on the plane between two people in a perfect temperature or have your own row and sweat your way to your destination.
Guys, we love you. Please leave that in a rating or a review and we will appreciate it. We love you. See you next time.
You've listened to Bless Their Hearts, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and go check us out on Stoveleg.com where you can learn more about Jamie and John. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.